Hey, Mama. I know getting meals on the table for your family can feel tough, especially finding weeknight-friendly meals that everyone in the family will love. There's a good chance it's why you're here, at least I hope so. Helping moms take the stress out of feeding their family is my biggest passion. It's why I share with you here, and it's why I created the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. If you've ever wished this podcast came with a weekly done-for-you dinner plan with a shopping list and meal prep tips, or maybe a recipe library with over 200 family-friendly recipes, cooking tips, how-tos, and hacks? Well, it does, and it's all in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club over on Patreon. Starting at just $3 a month for access to our 200-plus recipe vault with printable PDF recipes, or $5 a month for weekly done-for-you dinner plans, plus the recipe vault and bonus podcasts every month, the Healthy Mama Cooking Club is the dinnertime solution you're looking for. Head to patreon.com/healthymamachris or click the link in the show notes to try it out for a week free and join over 130 other busy mamas making weeknight meals work with the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. I can't wait to see you in there. All right, let's get on with the episode. One thing that might surprise you about me as a trained chef and a recipe developer is I am pretty minimalist when it comes to kitchen equipment. In last week's episode, we talked about organizing your kitchen for efficiency. I talked about kitchen zones and how the way your kitchen is set up can help or hinder you in making meals happen faster. Something I get asked often in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club and on Instagram when I share anything I'm cooking in the kitchen is lots and lots of questions on my favorite kitchen equipment. You might be surprised to learn I don't buy a whole ton of kitchen equipment, and my kitchen isn't packed to the brim with tons and tons and tons of pots and pans, and I do have quite a few spatulas, but everything that is in my kitchen I use regularly. So in today's episode, I want to share with you my favorite tools for your Healthy Mama kitchen. If I were to start over with a completely empty kitchen, with a completely blank slate, these are the only tools I think you need for a kitchen that is functional for everyday cooking, for meal prep, and for making meals happen fast and well. So let's dive in. Does cooking feel like a struggle more often than you want to admit? Do school lunches get boring after the third week, and even cereal for breakfast sometimes feels like too much effort? Let alone feeding yourself and your family meals with vegetables they'll actually eat? If you're a busy mama like me, you can probably relate. I'm Chris Dovniak, and welcome to My Healthy Mama Kitchen. I'm a trained chef, culinary nutritionist, and mama of two, and I'm here to guide you in making healthy eating easy and accessible by simplifying your meal plan, demystifying meal prep, taking the stress out of weeknight dinners, and helping you learn to cook your family delicious, nutrient-dense meals along the way without spending hours in the kitchen or thousands of dollars a month at Whole Foods. In this podcast, I'm here to share my best tips, tools, and hacks for your real-life Healthy Mama kitchen with a side of humor and sometimes a little bit of spice. So grab your favorite apron and let's get cooking. Welcome back to the Healthy Mama Kitchen Podcast. I'm Chris Dovniak. I'm the founder of Healthy Mama Chris. I'm a trained chef and a busy mom. And in this podcast, I am all about helping you get meals on the table faster and still have them be delicious and healthy for your family as well. So in the last couple of episodes, I have been sharing something that feels a little bit out of the box for a podcast on cooking, but this is something that I think is so incredibly important and can really make such a big difference in your everyday cooking. And that is how you set up your kitchen, how you organize your kitchen, and the tools that you have in order to make meals happen. And so last week, I talked all about organizing your kitchen for efficiency, how to set up your kitchen into zones, how to make your kitchen work for you for faster, easier cooking rather than against you. And I really pose the question, is your kitchen working for you now? I encourage you to declutter, to start thinking about how things are set up and maybe reorganize things so they work a little bit better for you. In today's episode, I want to talk about the specific tools that I think that you need for your Healthy Mama kitchen. Now, this is not intended for you to go out and buy all new tools. This is about my recommendations for what you might need in order to make your cooking happen faster. And I think more importantly, the things that you probably don't need to actually execute meals on a regular basis. You probably need less than you think you do. I've talked about this several times before, so any of you who have been around for a while, I apologize for the redundancy, but any of you who are new, most of my career as a chef has been working as a personal chef or a private chef, depending on the capacity I'm working with my clients. I've worked in restaurants, I've worked in food production, and obviously, for the most part now, I still do some personal and private chef now, but I work for myself in my own kitchen. But what this means is I have worked in a large variety of different cooking environments, different kitchens. And when I work as a personal chef or a private chef, especially when I am traveling as a private chef, like I do in the summertime, I have no idea what kitchen equipment I'm going to encounter when I walk into a new house that I'm working at. So typically I like to take inventory of what they have. If I'm working with a new client, you know, what do you have in your kitchen that I can use? And then I judge from there what equipment of my own I like to travel with, I like to bring with me. So oftentimes, if I'm traveling, I bring most of my kitchen equipment with me to make sure I have everything I need. And the things that I'm sharing with you are the things that I bring with me. Last summer, for instance, I private chefed for a week on an island, and the island is, you know, it's a vacation destination. So there was a small grocery store, but there was not, you know, a Target or a Walmart, or certainly not a Williams-Sonoma or a Sur La Table where I could buy kitchen equipment. I needed to bring everything with me. Now, the kitchen I was in was very well stocked, but I only had a general idea because I hadn't visited this location before of what would be there. Some kitchens are much more well stocked than other kitchens. And so most of the things that I'm mentioning today, I literally brought with me over on a ferry in order to have what I needed to cook for 10 people for a week. So I know that that is not most of you. Most of you are not working as private chefs. You are just cooking for your own family. The reason I tell you this is because if I can carry all of those things I need in the back of an SUV, along with all of the groceries that I needed for the week, and that is basically my entire kitchen, all of the equipment I need outside of, you know, an oven, a stove, a fridge, the basic appliances, then you probably have more than you need in your kitchen, unless you're kind of minimalist like I am. I find having less but better things in my kitchen is one of those things that makes my cooking happen faster. Just like organization, knowing where everything is, knowing that everything I have in my kitchen has a specific function is really important to me. So I try and pare down anything that I don't use. I do have some things like cookie cutters that I don't use on the regular, or things like my hand mixer, or I'm trying to think of the things that I have. I have serving equipment, and I have a couple other pots and pans that I bring with me as a private chef that I don't actually use in my everyday kitchen in a cupboard out in my garage. So I certainly have more kitchen equipment than maybe the average person does, but that's because I have duplicates of things. What's in my actual kitchen is what I'm sharing with you today. There's not much more in my actual kitchen than the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today, other than some of the maybe items that I think are worth it, but may or may not be worth it for you to have in your kitchen. So today I want to take you through the only kitchen tools that I think you need in order to have an efficient kitchen that will serve you for weeknights, for meal prep, for your everyday home cooking. So I will link anything that I mention that there is a link for in the show notes. If you are curious about brands or, you know, specific items that I share about, so I will link those. But if you have any questions about kitchen equipment at all, feel free to reach out to me over on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris. If you're a part of the Healthy Mama Cooking Club, you can shoot me a DM over there on Patreon or in the chat, and I'm happy to give you some tips, because this is something that I have really spent a lot of time being intentional about over the past, you know, almost 14 years in my career as a personal chef. So let's dive in. Let's start with probably what I would deem the most important items in your kitchen, and that is the knives that you are going to use on an everyday basis. This is the number one question that I get asked. What do you recommend for knives? I'll tell you right off the bat, I do not think you need a knife block. I do not think you need that many knives. More often than not, you know, maybe when we're getting married or maybe we're moving into our first place, our first instinct is to go and order the, you know, $300, $400 knife block with seven different knives. And if you do have that knife block, like my parents did, how often do you use those knives? Or which of those knives do you use? Because chances are you're only using probably two or three of those knives. I have never owned a knife block, and I have never thought that it was necessary because I would rather spend my money on less but more high quality knives than, I mean, you can get really high quality knife blocks. I'm not saying that yours is not high quality, but I don't think you need most of the knives in a knife block. You truly only need three, maybe four good knives. Now, these don't have to be the most expensive knives. We'll talk about that in a second, but you mostly want to make sure that it's a knife that's going to last and that you can keep really well sharpened. But I only use four knives on the regular, and then sometimes I use a paring knife. So the four knives that I use on the regular are a chef's knife. I also have a smaller vegetable knife, so a utility style knife. I use a serrated knife, and I use a meat knife, otherwise known as a boning knife. And of course, I will occasionally use a paring knife, but I'm pretty comfortable using my chef's knife for pretty much everything. I don't think I would even need a paring knife if I didn't have it. So the three knives that you need in your kitchen are a chef's knife, a serrated knife, and a meat knife or a boning knife if you eat meat. If not, I would recommend a vegetable knife or a utility knife. A nigiri knife is similar to that as well. So one of those three. So it might be called a utility knife, might be called a vegetable knife, might be called a nigiri knife. It is a flat blade knife used for things like vegetables. Whereas your chef's knife has a slightly curved blade. Now, if you prefer a santoku chef's knife, so a Japanese-style chef's knife versus a French-style, that's totally up to you. But you really just need a large chef's knife, so about 8 inches. And then your serrated knife for things like bread or any instances. A lot of people like to use serrated knives for tomatoes. Now, I believe if your chef's knife is sharp enough, you shouldn't need a serrated knife for tomatoes. And then that meat knife is invaluable for slicing meat because it stays super sharp. You do not want to use it for anything but meat. That will keep it sharp. You can also obviously go and get it sharpened as well. But what's really important here when it comes to knives is that your chef's knife is two things. Number one, comfortable in your hand, okay? I want you to go to the store. I don't want you to order this on Amazon unless you're pretty darn confident you know what you want. If you're not, go to the store because your knife needs to feel good in your hand. I have very tiny hands. I'm a generally small person. I'm only 5 feet tall, so my hands are proportionate to my body. And so the first chef's knife that I ever used outside of the knife that I got with my culinary school kit was a Global knife. I love the Global brand because their knives are high quality. They're moderately expensive. They're not crazy expensive. I think my 8-inch chef's knife is about $89, which is pretty reasonable for a good quality chef's knife. They stay sharp if you keep them sharp for a very long time. And they are very, very lightweight, so they feel really good in your hand if you have smaller hands or you prefer a knife that is a bit lighter. Some people prefer knives that are a bit heavier, like a German-style knife, like a Henkel or a Wusthof. If that feels good in your hand, that is the type of knife you want to buy. My other favorite brand of knives is the brand Shun. It's another Japanese brand. All of the knives I just mentioned have really fantastic blades. So you want to look for a knife that has Damascus steel or something similar. A It has a blade that is going to stay sharp for a long time, and you need to take care of your knives. You do not want to put them in the dishwasher. You want to make sure you're hand washing them without anything abrasive. You are avoiding using them on plastic cutting boards. I do use my meat knife on plastic cutting boards because I use that for meat, but the rest of my knives are used on a high quality wood or bamboo cutting board, because that is what is going to keep them the best. You will dull your knife really fast using it on a plastic cutting board. So you want a knife that has a good steel, that feels good in your hand, and that is big enough for the job that you are going to be using it for. Unless you are planning on only using your knife for small items like, you know, apples and carrots, even so, I would still recommend a chef's knife for a carrot. If you're using anything bigger than, or an onion or bigger, you need a chef's knife that is 8 inches at least. For me, I prefer 8 inches. I think a 10-inch chef's knife is a bit cumbersome, but you want to be able to cut a sweet potato, a butternut squash, a spaghetti squash with confidence using that knife. And that means you need a knife big enough for the jobs you're going to be using it for. So if there is one thing that I recommend you invest in if you are starting over in a new kitchen or you are looking to be more efficient in your cooking, it is a good quality knife. You don't need to completely overhaul all of your knives, but start with a good quality chef's knife that feels good in your hand. I do recommend Global, Schoon, and then Wusthof and Henkel are a little bit heavier in my hand, but they're also really great quality knives. Sur La Table, Williams Sonoma, or your local knife store is a great place to go. Feel the knife in your hand. Okay, I'm not affiliated with any of these companies, so I will tell you, oftentimes they are less expensive on Amazon. So go in the store, try them out, feel them in your hand. They'll oftentimes let you, you know, practice with them. Buy something while you're there, okay? Be a patron of the store. Buy yourself a Y peeler or some new spatulas or something like that. So just buy something from the store you go to, but it doesn't need to be crazy expensive. Then you can buy it on Amazon. Make sure it is, you know, it's not a reseller. It is from that brand, though. That is really important. Most of the brands, if you buy through them, they will have a lifetime warranty. So you need a good quality chef's knife. You need a serrated knife for bread. You need a meat knife or a boning knife that you keep really sharp that you use for raw or cooked meat separately, of course, wash in between. And then you might want a paring knife if you want to use it for things like peeling. But most of us don't need a paring knife. I would say most of us don't need a paring knife unless you are paring vegetables, which chances are you're not. If you don't know what paring vegetables is, Google it. If you're not doing that or you're not peeling with your knife, get a peeler instead. And I love a vegetable knife or a utility knife that's really sharp. My Global vegetable knife is my favorite. I think mine's 5.5 inches, so smaller than your chef's knife. You wouldn't use it for something like a butternut squash, but you can use it. It's very handy. It's small. It's light. It's great for your everyday chopping vegetables. Now, something like romaine lettuce, something that's bigger, or like the butternut squash I mentioned, you do want to use your chef's knife for. Just think about the size of what you're doing. But for everyday cooking, you know, cutting up strawberries for the kids' lunches, I use my vegetable knife all the time. And I recently invested in a Nikkuri knife, which is that flat blade Japanese knife that is typically used for slicing and chopping vegetables. So the brand that I have is Schoon as well. And it is a really, really solid brand, but they will run you closer to $170. So it kind of depends on number one, how it feels in your hand, and number two, what you're willing to invest in a knife. However, I do think that you need at least a good quality chef's knife. It will make your cooking easier. It'll make your meal prep easier. It is so much harder to prep food, whether it's prepping for dinner or doing your meal prep, with a dull knife. My parents have had dull knives in their kitchens for years, and recently they got sharper knives, and I've been hounding them for years because if I'm over there trying to cook dinner and I don't happen to bring my own knives, it's awful because it's so hard to chop, and I have lots and lots of experience in chopping. with a dull knife. So if your knife is dull, first of all, try and go and get it sharpened. If you do have a good quality knife, go to Sur La Table, go to your local knife shop. Oftentimes Whole Foods will do knife sharpening once a month, so check and see if they do knife sharpening there. I believe Williams-Sonoma does knife sharpening as well, but it might just be on occasion. But Sur La Table does it for $5 a knife all the time, so that's where I typically recommend if you have one close to you to go. They do a good job. There's usually somebody who comes in a couple times a week and specifically does knife sharpening. It takes about 3 days, so nothing crazy. And for $5, it's very, very worth it. If your knife is just, you know, really dull and you get it sharpened, then it feels like you have a new knife. It's wonderful. I do it about 3 to 4 times a year, and then I use my honing blade or an at-home sharpener in between. But I try not to do that too much because it does wear down the knife. So that's a lot of talk on knives, but I think the most important thing you need to know is that you need just a few, but good quality knives. You also need a good quality cutting board. Now, I love the Booz Block cutting boards, again, depending on the size that you get, but they are a bit of an investment. I always recommend you want to make sure you secure your cutting board with something underneath it, typically a wet paper towel. That's what we did in culinary school, just so that it doesn't slip around when you're chopping, because a secure cutting board and a sharp knife is what is going to make that chopping easier and safer. So the Booz Block is big and sturdy, and as long as you take care of it, they'll last you a really long time. So you want a sturdy cutting board that you can either secure or that's not going to move around when you're doing your chopping. With the Booz Block, make sure that you get the oil to go with it, and that you are making sure that whenever you are, and this is true for any wooden bamboo cutting boards, when you wash it, you dry it really well, you oil it. This will help to keep it for a longer time. You also want a plastic cutting board for any meat, please. Oh my gosh, it is one of my biggest pet peeves when I see people you putting meat on a wooden cutting board. Please don't do that. If you're doing it now, this is not meant to shame you. This is meant to educate you. If you put meat on a or fish on a wooden cutting board, remember wood has pores in it. And remember, every time you slice into that wood cutting board, you're creating teeny tiny slices in your cutting board. So any of that bacteria from your raw meat, your raw chicken, your raw fish is getting into those crevices. And even if you are washing it well, that bacteria, you know, bacteria is very, very tiny. It can still stick in there. So I'm sorry if that grossed you out, but please buy a plastic cutting board. And again, you also want that secure, or put down that wet paper towel or kitchen towel underneath to keep it secure. Number 3, you need a good peeler. This is about the time I'm going to tell you to throw out your carrot peeler. Okay, donate your carrot peeler. No need to throw it out, but donate your carrot peeler, okay? Because your carrot peeler is doing nothing for you. You need a Y peeler. So your Y peeler is the one that is shaped like a Y. I usually buy them in 3-packs on Amazon. They're much easier to hold securely, and it's much easier to peel with it. If you've watched any of my meal prep videos on Instagram, I peel very fast because I worked at one point we learned how to peel in culinary school, but it seems like something that's very intuitive until you learn how to do it the right way. I worked at a vegan soup company for a year, and peeling vegetables was one of the number one things we did. We peeled vegetables for hours and hours and hours a day. So I got very good at peeling vegetables. And so you'll see me use that Y peeler. All you want is an inexpensive Y peeler that you switch out about every few months, because they do wear down, they get rusty eventually, but they're very inexpensive. So I'll buy a 3-pack and that'll last me basically a year. And it's like $10 to $12 for a 3-pack. So very inexpensive, and it will make your peeling faster. Remember, we're all about efficiency in the kitchen. I will share a video of peeling correctly, if I haven't already, in the cooking club. So any of you who are cooking club members, but definitely get yourself a Y peeler. You don't need 13 different peelers. You need one good quality Y peeler. And if you buy the 3-pack, just save them. You don't need to have them all in rotation. Just save them until you need to replace them, because they oftentimes come in 3-packs because they are not meant to be used forever, but it's probably the only piece of kitchen equipment I regularly replace. Number 4, you need a microplane. A microplane is a very small grater that is used for garlic, for ginger, for nutmeg, for cheeses like Parmesan cheese, so your hard cheeses. You can use it for citrus zest. I use my microplane every single day in my kitchen, and I do not know what I would do without it. This is one of those things I learned about in culinary school, and lots of people have garlic presses. There's nothing wrong with a garlic press, but I find it kind of cumbersome and annoying to clean. The microplane is very easy to clean. It stores, you know, easily because it's kind of flat. It's not too big. And it is invaluable in the kitchen for making things like mincing a whole bunch of garlic easier. If you're using a garlic press, you know, every time you go to press one or two cloves of garlic, you have to open it up. You put in the garlic. You squeeze it out. You have to kind of scrape off that garlic. Then you have to open it up. Take away any of the bits that are on the inside. Do it again. With the microplane, you literally pull it out, put it over either your cutting board or a bowl, and you just go ch-ch-ch-ch with the... Do you like that? Do you like that visual I gave you on a podcast? You just rub the garlic clove on top with a little bit of force, but like my kids in my cooking classes do it, and they have no problem. And then you just kind of tap it on the cutting board or on the side of the bowl, and your garlic falls out. You can use a knife to carefully get any of the last bits of it if you are as much of a garlic fiend as I am and you need to get every last morsel of garlic. But it's so simple. And then you move on to the next one and keep on keeping on. So I think a microplane is invaluable for efficiency. So these first four items that I shared with you are the four items I think if you don't have, they'd be worth adding to your wish list, your, you know, when I have the cash to replace these items list. Good knives, a good cutting board, a good peeler, and a microplane will make you a more efficient cook once you know how to use them and you use them regularly. They really, truly will make a difference. The other items that I'm sharing with you, for the most part, or items that you just need for your everyday cooking. And so I think those first four items, and I have shared these before with you on the podcast. I didn't mention that before, but I've shared these with you before. I'm going to continue to share these things that I think will make a really big difference in your everyday cooking.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so the next things you need are your basic pots and pans. And this is the area where I find people tend to have a lot that they don't use. So here's what I recommend and what I travel with when I work as a private chef. So two general heavy bottom saute pans. So you probably want one of these to be a nonstick pan. So I recommend like a ceramic nonstick pan. They don't last forever. I like the ceramic nonstick pans only because they don't have that potentially toxic Teflon coating, right? We're not quite sure how good or bad that is for us. So I choose to use something that feels a little bit safer. So I like the Green Pan brand. These are great for eggs and fish. You can still use a stainless steel for fish as well, but you need to know how to use it. And these will serve you really well for your everyday cooking, for your eggs, for your fish, for any time you want to cook something that you really need to not stick. So I recommend an 8-inch and a 12-inch, so something small for a couple of eggs and something bigger for more of a bigger meal. I also recommend, and what I cook in the vast majority of the time, more often than not, I am using a cast iron pan. I forgot to mention too, with that 12-inch, you want it with a lid if you can. The lid is invaluable to steam things, you know, steam saute, whenever you need to put a lid on something to bring up that boiling point so that it simmers faster. If you can get one with a lid, even better. Again, I'm going to link all of these so you can see the one that I have and that I use. Next up is a cast iron pan. I have a large 15-inch cast iron pan. I also have a smaller 10-inch that we use for camping that's great for a couple of steaks. But if you are a family of four, I recommend getting a big 15-inch cast iron pan. You do not need to spend an arm and a leg on cast iron, even though it is similar to enameled cast iron, a little bit more expensive than, you know, your everyday nonstick saute pan from Walmart. It will last you forever if you treat it well. So make sure you season it well. You're adding oil to it after you cook with it. You are avoiding washing it with soap. You can wash it with soap on occasion, but the more you wash it with soap, the more you will take off that seasoning that helps it to be more of a non-stick cooking surface. I use a copper scrubber on my cast iron pan, and that's what keeps it nice and clean. But a large cast iron pan is what I use for most of my cooking, and I highly, highly recommend you use. I also use a Dutch oven often. So both the cast iron pan and my enameled Dutch oven are by the brand Lodge. I love the brand Lodge. I've been using them for years. For enameled cast iron, Le Creuset is wonderful and I highly recommend them, but they are significantly more expensive. So if you want a more entry-level price for cast iron or for enameled cast iron, I recommend Lodge. You can get them on Amazon. So for a Dutch oven, I had the same Dutch oven for years and years and years and years, and I recently invested in a slightly larger one. This is perfect for soups, for stews, for pot roast, for anything you're going to braise. You can also use it for just boiling water, for blanching things, for cooking pasta. If you have an enameled Dutch oven, you can use it like you would any large capacity pot. So like I said, soups, stews, chilies, braises. The next item I have on my list is a pasta or a large capacity soup pot, but I would argue you don't need this if you have a Dutch oven and or a slow cooker or an instant pot. Like, you can get away with not having a pasta pot or a large capacity soup pot if you have a Dutch oven and or slow cooker instant pot. The instant pot will basically do everything that I just mentioned as well, whereas the slow cooker just slow cooks. So if you want to buy, if you'd rather just, you know, maybe you don't have a large capacity soup pot or a pasta pot and you're like, oh, I want a Dutch oven because I want to, well, you can also bake bread in it. I want something I can put in the oven. That's the biggest benefit of the Dutch oven, you know, to make a pot roast, something like that. Get a Dutch oven. Forget the pasta or a large capacity soup pot. It is helpful to have, especially if you have a large family. If you want to make large quantities, then definitely get yourself a pasta pot or a large capacity soup pot, otherwise known as a stock pot. But a Dutch oven will work. A Dutch oven is heavy, but that also means that it holds the heat in really, really well. There is nothing like a good quality enameled Dutch oven. So I believe that is a must. Another nice to have item that I don't think is an essential, but I do think it's really, really nice to have. If you cook often, you can use this for roast. You can use this for your whole chicken. You can use it for any of your braising that you would do in the oven. And that is a braiser. So I like an enameled braiser. I have one that I bought a couple of years ago from Target that works okay, but I will be investing in the Lodge version soon because it just, I trust Lodge as a brand. It's the same material as the Dutch oven that I have, and mine sticks a little bit, and I would prefer it to be more of a non-stick surface. So I use this for curries. I use it anytime I want to saute something that will have a sauce because it has higher sides, and any sort of cast iron holds heat really well. So a braiser is highly recommended. Not an essential, but highly recommended. If you have a high side, heavy bottom saute pan that's about 12 to 15 inches, then you probably don't need the braiser. I do have both and I do use both regularly. So it's up to you in that case. You'll also need a small sauce pot. I have two. I have a 1-quart and a 2-quart, and you could get away with just one, probably the 2-quart, so it does a little bit more for you. So you can use that for things like, you know, your pasta sauce or heating up leftovers. The 1-quart is what I use to heat up the water when I make pickled onions, which I do often. So the 1-quart is nice because it's really small. It's great for like a 1 or 2 portions of leftovers, but it's not really enough for a pasta sauce. So you need a small sauce pot, but I would recommend if you just want one, a 2-quart small sauce pot. You're also going to want a colander and a fine mesh strainer. Now, I do think that having a large fine mesh strainer and a small fine mesh strainer is helpful. However, I just have one. I have one colander that I use for things like pasta and, you know, anytime I need to drain something. And then I also have a small fine mesh strainer that is, people typically call them cocktail strainers, but I use it for citrus juice. I prefer it so much more than the citrus juicers that you put the piece of citrus in and you squeeze it, because I feel like the juice goes everywhere. It's a little bit more annoying to use. With the fine mesh strainer, you just put it over your bowl and you just squeeze the citrus over the top. It collects any of the seeds and you're good to go. You can do it directly into whatever sauce you're making. I find the fine mesh strainer really helpful. Now, you're not going to use that for pasta, but the colander works for pretty much everything. Now, if you are going to be straining like broths and things like that, when I strain my broth, I double strain. So I strain into a colander to get any of the big pieces of bones out. And then I strain into my mason jars that I'm going to use to store it in with my fine mesh strainer. So you can kind of skip that and just use the large fine mesh strainer if you want to. But I think you really just need a small mesh strainer and a large colander. Now, the only appliance I'm going to tell you that you absolutely need in your kitchen, other than your basic stove and oven, is a blender or an immersion blender. This is just necessary for sauces, if you're going to make smoothies. Sauces especially, though, your immersion blender will help you to make any of your ranches, your Caesar dressing. You can make your, like, a curry sauce. You can blend that in there. You can blend your tomato soup directly in the pot with an immersion blender. There's so much that you can do with an immersion blender and or a good quality blender. I have a Vitamix and mine's a refurbished Vitamix. A Vitamix is not inexpensive. It will run you a few hundred dollars at the least, but they do last forever and they have a 10-year warranty. So I highly recommend a large blender if you're doing things like smoothies or soups. But an immersion blender and or a small blender, like a Nutribullet, we have a Nutribullet that we use for sauces. I also have an immersion blender. Do I think I need both? Yes, because of what I do, but you could use either an immersion blender or a small capacity blender as well. But some sort of a blender for sauces and or soups is essential. You also want a collection of bowls of all sizes, at least three different bowls, small, medium, and large. And then I recommend small bowls or pinch pots as well for doing your mise en place. So I have a whole episode on mise en place if you have no idea what I'm talking about, but it's essentially getting everything prepped and ready to go before you start cooking. It is the number one thing that is going to make you a more efficient cook. I know talking about having good tools and having your kitchen organized well is, you know, very, very valuable in helping you to become a more efficient cook. But if you're not doing mise en place, none of that's going to help. Well, I mean, it will help, but not in the same way. So having bowls of different sizes to put your mise en place in and or to use for things like mixing and baking and blanching is really important. So at least a set of three bowls. I like glass or stainless steel bowls. I have four bowls that I use regularly in different sizes. And then I also have ramekins and pinch pots. The ones I have are from Sur La Table, but I will link something from Amazon that's similar. And they're really great for just dividing up all of my mise en place. They're dishwasher safe, so I just pop them in the dishwasher after I use them. And they are very, very helpful in making my meals happen faster. Now, when it comes to hand tools that you're going to be using for cooking, you need less than you think you do, but you do need some specific ones. So you definitely want a set of spatulas and or wooden spoons. So I typically recommend a wooden spatula, a wooden spoon, a silicone high heat spatula. If you're a baker, it's also helpful to have a flexible plastic spatula to use for baking as well. The silicone spatulas that are heat safe tend to be a little bit more firm and not as good for, you know, getting the batter off the sides of the bowl when you're baking. But just one, I think, is necessary. A nice to have is a fish spatula. If you don't have a fish spatula and you cook fish often, then I highly recommend this. The fish spatula is slotted, and the way it's shaped makes it very easy to pick up your fish and flip it carefully on the pan. You can use it for other delicate items as well, like burgers, especially if it's a more delicate burger, like a turkey burger or a salmon cake, which I guess is also fish, or something like that. So they're really, really helpful to have. They run you about $12 on Amazon. The one I have, I've had for over a decade. And I'm like trying to do the math in my head. And they last a long time. Most of these kitchen tools will last you a really long time, so they're worth the investment, even if it's something small. You definitely want a couple of sets of tongs. I recommend two for tossing things like your slaw or your vegetables to roast, flipping things in your pan. Tongs are super, super important. You also want a couple of half sheet pans. So I recommend the brand USA Pan. I also have some from Target that work fine, but a good sheet pan is essential for roasting vegetables, for cooking meat, for baking cookies. So you definitely want at least two sheet pans. I also recommend, but not essential, a cooling rack as well that fits on top of your sheet pan for more than just cooling off cookies. We use ours for bacon in the oven as well. And anytime you want something like chicken tenders or fries to get crispy, you can put them on top of the cooling rack in the oven, and it will help the air to circulate around it, the hot air to circulate around it a little bit more, and it'll help them get crispier. I also recommend a slotted spoon for pasta, and anytime that you need to pick up something and have the water drain out underneath. A box grater is super important as well. This is great for grating any sort of vegetables into dishes, into, you know, breads or muffins as well. Grating cheese, if you are making macaroni and cheese, you definitely want to grate cheese from the block, not use the shredded cheese in a bag. It has a fiber on it that will make it gummy and keep it from melting properly. So a box grater is really important in addition to your microplane. And then if you bake any sort of casseroles, you want to make any sort of homemade granola bars, things like that, I recommend a couple of baking dishes. Just an 8x8 inch and a 9x13 inch should be enough for you for just your everyday casseroles and food prep. And last but not least, a meat thermometer. If you do not have a meat thermometer, this is the other item. I know I said the first four items are ones. I'm like, if you don't have them, you need to buy them. But no, this is the one. If you don't have a meat thermometer, especially if you're in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club, the only way that you can ensure that your meat is done correctly is with a meat thermometer. Now, you can get good at telling if your food is done or your meat is done to your liking. But the only way you can truly know is by using a thermometer. And make sure you're testing your thermometer regularly to make sure that it's working well. But a thermometer runs you like $10 to $20, a meat thermometer. And it's invaluable to making sure that you are cooking things to the right temperature and to safe temperatures, especially when you're talking about things like chicken or turkey. You want to make sure that you are cooking to a safe temperature as well. So if you don't have a meat thermometer, it is going to change the game when it comes to not overcooking your meat. If you're someone who gets nervous and overcooks your meat, learn how to use a meat thermometer. You put it in the thickest part of the meat, not touching the bone, and wait for it to get up to safe temperature. And if it's not safe temperature, leave it in a little bit longer and test it again. And then you can be assured that your meat is cooked to a safe temperature and also to your liking for things like steak and pork and fish. So a meat thermometer is super important. A few items that are nice to have and that I recommend and use often, at least every week in my kitchen, but aren't necessities, are an Instant Pot and or a slow cooker. I have individual episodes on the Instant Pot, the slow cooker, and the rice cooker, and I also have an episode coming up on the air fryer. So those are the four appliances that I would say are nice to have, but not essential. With the Instant Pot and the slow cooker, it kind of depends on what type of meals you want to make. The Instant Pot has way more functions than the slow cooker. Your slow cooker is typically just cooks things low and slow. It's very valuable in and of itself. And so I have both an Instant Pot and a slow cooker because then I can be cooking some broth during the day and still use my Instant Pot to make soup or hard cook eggs or something like that. I love the Instant Pot for so many reasons, but definitely go listen to the episode if you're thinking about getting an Instant Pot and you're not sure if it's worth it. I use it every single week for meal prep, for cooking soups and stews. So I use it for hard cooked eggs. I use it for shredded chicken. I use it for slow cooked oats. oats or pressure cooked oats. You can use it for roasts. You can use it for a whole chicken. You can use it for soups, for stews, for chilies. And it takes about half the time than it would take to cook on the stovetop. Now, the slow cooker, again, I have a whole episode on what you can cook in the slow cooker and how to use your slow cooker well. It cooks things low and slow. So it's really great for super tender meat. It's great for set it and forget it type meals. But the Instant Pot does work as a slow cooker as well. So if you're trying to decide which one, I know we're kind of coming out of Instant Pot and slow cooker season or soup and stew season right now that we're in March. However, the Instant Pot I use all summer long. I use it for pulled pork, and the slow cooker I use for pulled pork as well. I use it for pulled pork. I use it for those things I mentioned, like shredded chicken, which are great for like chicken salads. And I use it for hard cooked eggs. I use it all the time. So the Instant Pot is an essential for me. The slow cooker is a really nice to have. The rice cooker, we use several times a week. We use it for rice. We use it for quinoa. And those are the main things we use it for. But we have a very inexpensive, like $25 rice cooker. And I had actually bought a new rice cooker when we moved into our new place that like matches our kitchen. And it got lost in the mail and I never replaced it. Like, they refunded me and everything, but I never bought a new one because I'm like, well, mine works just fine. So you don't need something expensive, but if you do cook rice, quinoa, grains often, then the rice cooker is really helpful. And the air fryer, that episode is coming up next week, so stay tuned for that one. I think the air fryer is really helpful for reheating leftovers, for things like homemade French fries, for cooking fish. It is fantastic. If you don't have the room for it, I don't think it's a necessity. But if you do have the room for it and you're excited about air fryer cooking, then definitely tune into next week's episode. We'll talk more about that. It's definitely a nice to have. Another nice to have is a food processor. You can do most of what you can do with a food processor with a blender, but things like shredding vegetables or shredding cheese, yes, you can use your box grater for that, but you can also use your food processor for that. Making things like energy balls, you just can't do in your blender. You get a better consistency from things like hummus and pesto in the food processor. So if those are things that you want to make, you can make homemade mayonnaise in the food processor. You can also make it with an immersion blender. So it's not necessarily a necessity, but it is a really nice to have item for any of those things that I mentioned and more. Another nice to have item is a mandolin. I know a lot of people, myself for many years included, were nervous about using a mandolin. I just recommend getting one with a guard on it so you're not potentially slicing your fingers off. But if you want really thinly sliced vegetables for salads, for pickled onions, a mandolin is really, really helpful. I just filmed a whole video on, it was a short video, but how I use a mandolin, how to use it safely, and what I use it for in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. So if you're in the club, go check that out. It is something that I use regularly for really thinly sliced vegetables that, happen really, really fast using the mandolin. And I just have a handheld one. I think it was like $18, so pretty inexpensive and just a great tool. I'm not a fan of those slap choppers that are really popular right now on, like Instagram, TikTok. They're fine if you really don't want to chop things. My biggest concern with them is that oftentimes they don't actually cut things to like an even size, and they are oftentimes way bigger than you need for different meals. So they can serve their purpose, right? But oftentimes I find that I can cut things more evenly with a knife. So it's up to you. But the mandolin does serve that purpose for thinly sliced vegetables, which can be a bit tough, even for me. And I've been chopping for a really long time. So I prefer the mandolin over those like slap choppers. They do serve a purpose, but you might need to kind of go over them with a knife so everything's the right size for whatever you're cooking. Because when you are chopping, your goal, and I tell this to the kids I teach in cooking classes, is always that your vegetables are sliced to the same size, or your meat, whatever it is, so that it cooks the same rate. So you don't have one hard piece of carrot and one mushy piece of carrot, if that makes sense. And my last two nice to haves are a set of kitchen scissors. I would almost say these are essential. You can just use everyday scissors too, but I use kitchen scissors to open things all the time. You can also use them to do things like cut meat, but you obviously want to wash them really, really well if you're going to use them for that. Kitchen scissors are something I use every single day. I don't think they're a necessity. But you do want a pair of scissors near your kitchen. But mine were like $5 from Target. Maybe they weren't $5. Maybe they're like $12, but really inexpensive. And last but not least, a muffin pan and or a silicone muffin pan. If you never plan on making muffins or cupcakes, you don't need this, but I use my silicone muffin pan especially for so many things in my meal prep especially. So I will use my silicone muffin pan to make egg cups, to make muffins, to make mini meatloaves, to make oatmeal cups. So a silicone muffin pan, again, very inexpensive, about $10 on Amazon. The one I have was actually my mom's that she donated to me that she got at Marshall's like years and years ago. But there are very similar ones on Amazon that I'll link. It is one of those things, like, I don't think I could live without it. Even though it's not an essential, it's definitely an essential to me as someone who meal preps regularly. And I think it's really great for kid-friendly items too. Like I said, muffins, mini meatloaves, egg cups, things like that. Great ways to get in those extra vegetables. So there you have it. This has been a lot longer than I thought it was going to be, but I did talk about knives for about 15 minutes. And like I said, this isn't the first time I've talked about these items here on the podcast, but I'm really passionate that you don't need a ton in your kitchen for an efficient kitchen, but you do need items that are going to serve you really well. So I hope this was helpful to give you some insight into kind of what my kitchen looks like and the things that I use. I am going to do a kitchen tour this month, I promise, in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. So if you're not yet a member of the Healthy Mama Cooking Club, we would love to have you over there. It is an extension of the podcast with a ton of recipes, cooking tips, tricks. I try and do a cooking tip or a how-to every single week in the cooking club. There's also a place to chat with myself and other members. You can send me direct messages. I will answer your messages over there, generally quicker than anywhere else. We have our recipe library with over 200 weeknight friendly, family friendly recipes. And we also have weekly meal plans, bonus podcasts, cooking videos, and so much more. So you can check all of it out over at patreon.com/healthymamachris. You can try it out for a week free. It starts at $3 a month for our recipe vault, or $5 a month for those weekly meal plans, $10 a month for a seasonal family cookbook that comes out 4 times a year, access to all of my live and recorded cooking classes, and a ton more. So definitely check that out, patreon.com/healthymamachris. I'm going to do a kitchen tour this month. I told my husband, he has been promising me he will film a kitchen tour for me since like October. And I'm like, it hasn't happened yet, but it'll happen this month because I really want you to see how my kitchen is set up, both how it's organized, my tools, and the like. And you guys can ask me any questions that you might have as well, because I think a visual is helpful and it's just too much for something I could put on, you know, like Instagram. So maybe I'll do a mini kitchen tour on Instagram as well. If you don't follow me over there, I'm at Healthy Mama Chris. I share lots of family-friendly recipes over there, meal preps, and more. So I hope this was helpful. Let me know if you have any questions. Reach out to me over on Instagram in the cooking club. I am happy to answer questions, to give you tips on cooking equipment. And I hope this inspired you these last couple of episodes. If you're doing your spring cleaning this month, or you're coming into that spring cleaning season, to reorganize your kitchen and make it just a little bit more efficient for you, and to make it easier and more relaxed to cook in your kitchen this season. As always, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Healthy Mama Kitchen podcast. If you haven't yet subscribed, hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss an episode. If you found this helpful, I would be so appreciative if you gave a positive rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to let me know that you are enjoying the episodes and that it's helpful for you. It helps me, and it also helps other people find the podcast as well. That's all I have for you all today. Next week, we are going to talk about the air fryer. This is a much requested episode, so I'm really excited to share that episode with all of you. Until next time, happy cooking.
Thank you for listening to Mommy's Podcast.
Friend, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Healthy Mama Kitchen Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you love to listen to podcasts so you never miss a cooking tip. If you've been loving this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It truly makes a difference in how many other busy cooks find this show and lets me know what you're loving and want to hear more of. For show notes and links to all the recipes and tools I mention, head to healthymamachris.com/podcast. For daily eats, cooking tips, and family-friendly shortcut dinner ideas, Be sure to follow along over on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris. Remember, cooking for your family may not always feel easy, but it can be simple.